Welcome to Whiskey Cast, Ask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 352 for January 14th, 2012. Support for Whiskey Cast comes from Redbreast Single Pot Still Irish Whiskey. Find out more at redbreastwhiskey.com and join the Stillhouse to receive your own personalized whiskey journal. Coming up in a few minutes.
My aim for this year is to make sure that everyone in Glasgow knows where the pot still is. And in terms of the whiskey, get it back up to where it is.
Frank Murphy is the new owner of one of Glasgow's legendary whiskey bars, the Pot Still. After longtime owner Ken Story passed away a year ago, the landlords ousted Ken's family and brought in new management. But that didn't last for long. Frank was one of Ken's managers for several years, and his family has a long history in Glasgow's pub trade. He took over the lease at the end of November and is building the Pot Still back up to the standards that Ken Story set. More with Frank Murphy later on, along with the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and the What I'm Tasting This Week department. First off, let's look at the week's news. It's brought to you, as always, by Glenmorangie. One of Glenfiddich's longest-serving employees hung up his tools for the final time on New Year's Eve. Don Ramsey turned 65 years old December 18th, and a week later marked his 50th anniversary at the distillery on Christmas Day. Don was one of Glenfiddich's coopers, and in recent years had traveled to whiskey fairs around the world to demonstrate his craft for the distillery. Way, way back in May of 2007, I talked with Don in New York City for episode number 90 of Whiskey Cast.
For those of us who have never seen a cooper at work, how hard is it to actually put a barrel together?
Quite hard. It's a very physical sport, if you want to call it a sport. It's a job. It's very physical. And way back then, there wasn't so much machines at the time, and everything had to be driven by hand. So it was very, very physical to make the barrel watertight.
If you haven't already done the math, Don was just 15 years old when he went to work at Glenfiddich. That'd never be allowed today. Congratulations, Don, and thanks for all of that hard work over the years. There's a parliamentary tradition in the UK for the Speaker of the House of Commons to select a single malt scotch to be bottled as the Speaker's selection. The bottles are often given to VIP guests, and back in 2003, the Speaker of Canada's House of Commons received one from his counterpart in Westminster. Peter Milliken decided to start the tradition in Canada after that. He picked whiskies from Talisker and Dalwhinnie during his tenure as Speaker, and now his successor has selected a new malt. Andrew Scheer followed Milliken's lead in democratizing the process a bit. He invited members of the House of Commons to a special tasting and selected the winner by secret ballot. The choice? A cask from Glenmorangie. It'll be unveiled officially at a Burns Night event in Ottawa, January 25th. Tourism numbers for 2011 are starting to come in now. The Kentucky Distillers Association reports a record number of tourists visited the six distilleries on the Bourbon Trail during the year. 11,757 people made it to all six distilleries, well above the 2010 mark of 9,402. Those tourists came from all 50 U.S. states and 16 different countries. There'll be another bourbon-related tourist attraction in Louisville soon. The Kentucky Derby Museum at Churchill Downs will open its Urban Bourbon exhibit, presented by Four Roses, on March 5th. It'll highlight Louisville's history in the bourbon business and will be open through the end of the year. We're just starting to see some of the first whiskey releases of the year. Duncan Taylor has released 11 new single cask bottlings in its Core Dimensions series, including a 1983 Tiananic, a 1981 Glenlivet, and Glenmurray casks from 1986 and 1991. That's the news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Unnecessarily well made. Don't forget to listen next weekend. I'll be at the Victoria Whiskey Festival in Victoria, British Columbia. I'll have a special episode of Whiskey Cast from the festival next weekend, and we'll be recording this month's episode of Whiskey Cast Virtual Tastings in Victoria, too. Let's check the comments of the week now, brought to you this time around by Highland Park. I turned 50 years old earlier this week, and thanks to everyone who posted comments about it on my own Facebook page, as well as the Whiskey Cast Facebook page, Mitch Gurowitz posted this note, quoting now, "Would it be a bad time to remind you that I'm turning 50 on the 20th of next month? I wanted to buy a bottle of Highland Park 50, but my wife said she would miss me if I went to debtor's prison. I hope your birthday is less controversial." Well, Mitch, mine was far less controversial, but if you saw some of the stuff my daughters posted on Facebook to give me some grief, you might not think so, but happy birthday next month. Meanwhile, Jord DeHaan Kramer had a comment on last week's interview with Irish Whiskey Society President Leo Phelan. Here's what he had to say. "The story about the post-prohibition Irish rye blend is quite inspiring to try and blend bourbon, rye, and other styles of whiskey, like single pot still and single malt. I think I now have plans for Friday night." By the way, I found out this week that there's also a U.S. chapter of the Irish Whiskey Society based in Boston. I've posted a link for the Society's U.S. website at the WhiskeyCast website. And if you have something you'd like to share with whiskey lovers around the world, you can always post it on our Facebook page or just email me. My address is comments@whiskeycast.com. And the comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Highland Park.
Hello, this is Jerry Tosh of Highland Park, the makers of the best spirit in the world. If you'd like to go onto the WhiskeyCast website and click on the banner, then it'll take you to the inner circle and sign up, and we'll send you as much information about Highland Park as you ever need to know.
Let's check the calendar of events now, brought to you by Laphroaig. I've added a bunch of new events to the calendar this week. There'll be a single malt tasting at Michael's Wine Cellar in Sarasota, Florida on the 19th. The Artisanal Cheese Center in New York City will kick off a series of classes on pairing scotches with cheese January 25th. You can use the discount code WhiskeyCast to get a 20% discount at the center's website. Nichols & Perks in Stourbridge, England hosts a Burns Night Whiskey Tasting January 27th, and Richard Patterson for a Dalmore Tasting on February 21st. Whiskey Live Australia is back after taking a year off in 2011 with three events this year, in Perth on February 21st and 22nd, June 6th in Melbourne, and August 15th in Sydney. Speaking of Sydney, the Australian Malt Whiskey Tasting Championship returns this year. It'll be held in Sydney on June 15th. Finally, Whiskey Live Belgium will be held in Spa the weekend of February 3rd through the 5th. You'll find a full calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Take a virtual distillery tour at laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Jerry McCarthy, stillhouse operator, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
There was a time then we brought in 12 barrels, and I was asked to, I was foreman in the warehousing at the time, and it was to be handled by Nolan, and then myself, and the supervisor in question, Dennis McSweeney. And we put it together, made it up. I was told to band them, strap them, get them onto the back of a lorry. They were being shipped off up to Dublin, and they were special. And I was told it was liquid gold. It was actually Redbreast.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
Time now for Whiskey Cast In Depth. Just about a year ago, the owner of the Pot Still Bar in Glasgow, Ken Story, passed away. Over the years, Ken, his family, and his employees built up one of the best whiskey bars in Glasgow, and after a year that saw the bar's reputation nearly wrecked by new management, one of Ken's former managers came in to save the Pot Still. Frank Murphy and his family are running the place now.
Well, one of the conditions of the lease is that if the person who signs the lease passes away, then there's no longer a signature to it, and so it becomes null and void. The landlords had looked at getting somebody else in to run it rather than asking the family if they wanted to take over the lease. and a couple of, a partnership of two guys was installed to run the place. However, they weren't really guys that were from the licensed trade. They were guys who wanted to invest in a pub and didn't have enough hands-on experience of running a pub, or a desire to have hands-on experience of running a pub to really make a go of it. So the partnership broke up, and it ended up being an untenable lease once again for the landlords. So I had put in a speculative email just to ask them if there was anything happening with the pub, because I'd heard on the grapevine it might be, and the landlords got in touch. And subsequently, 28th November, me and the rest of the family came in, took over. We opened up at 6 o'clock in the evening and waited to see who would turn up.
And judging from the noise behind you, it sounds like things have been going well since then.
Well, it's not too bad. It's quite good for January. Usually January pubs are, you know, pretty dead for most of the month. Everyone's still paying off Christmas. Nobody's really getting money left until the first paycheck comes in January. And even then, most of it's paying off what they spent the month beforehand. But we're quite lucky in the first few days in January are a bit damp, because the weather was absolutely miserable. You had, I don't know if you know about it over there, Hurricane Bobag, as it was reported over here, which meant people just stayed in for a few days. But apart from that, it's been quite good. And then towards the end of the month in Glasgow, there's the Celtic Connections Music and Culture Festival. So we usually get a wee kickback off of that towards the end of the month as well, with more people coming into Glasgow to see the gigs and whatnot.
Now, under Ken's management, the pot still had one of the best whiskey collections in Glasgow among bars, but those two interlopers kind of decimated it, didn't they?
Well, just didn't invest in it. The thing is, you're really kind of, you're perpetually running to stand still in the pot, because you keep ordering whiskey and people keep coming in and drinking it. So if you stop ordering for a while, then the next thing you know, you're down, you know, 50, 100 bottles in no time at all, because all it takes is somebody coming in and polishing off a couple of last drams in one of the bottles, and that's it, done. So we started off at, I think it was, when I went in and done the count, we had 233 bottlings across the whole gamut of whiskey, single malt, blended malt, grains, liqueurs, world whiskies. Now we're up to just over 260, and that's just me getting ready to do the January order. So hopefully we'll be heading back up towards the 540 in short order, but obviously it's a big investment to make in the first year, so we're just going to see what we can do as much as possible.
I wanted to talk about your history with the place too, because you actually were one of the managers there for a while under Ken, right?
Yeah, maybe about five, six years ago, I was the manager for Ken back about 2004 to 2007, and partly it was kind of me that was responsible for getting up to the 540 that we had by default. I was doing the Christmas orders, and I'd split it over about three or four suppliers, and I hadn't realised quite how much I was ordering, which gave Ken a bit of a shock when it all eventually came in. But it all worked out. We ended up selling it all anyway, so it wasn't really a big problem, but it was a bit of a squeeze at that point. So I worked here for about 3 years under Ken. During that time, we won the SLTN Whiskey Bar Award 2 years in the trot, the Whiskey Magazine Whiskey Bar Award 3 years in the trot, and after that, I pretty much, you know, I didn't think I could achieve much more in the place at the time, so I went on to work in the Clockwork Beer Company over in Southside, which is a brew pub, and decided to go over and learn the actual production side of it. So I was there for a few years. So I really enjoyed my time working here with Ken. I introduced my sister into it, and she was still working here up until last year. She's now back in with his. My cousin was also working here all the way through the previous owners, and so he's quite happy now that the family's in charge. So I've had a lot of good memories of this place, and a lot of my family already have good connections with it as well, which makes things a lot handier when we all came in on the 28th. So just now it's me, my dad, my sister Geraldine, my cousin Sean, and the only person who's really got a lot to learn about whiskey just now is my dad. He's adamant so far but we're going to batter them down and get them tasting some whiskey hopefully soon. We'll just wait until the moment's right.
And your family's been involved in the Glasgow pub trade for years too, right?
Yeah, my dad's had a pub since I was about 7. We had a pub up in Springburn, up in the north of the city first, and then one in Partick in the West End, and then latterly the Arlington Bar up in the Charing Cross area. And my dad's been out of the trade for about 4 years now, and me and my sister and my cousin have stayed in the trade in different bars, and this was his opportunity to get back in behind the bar as well. So
you drug him back in?
dragged him by his hair. He wasn't really for coming back in, but this place is, you know, something different, something new for him to learn. You know, not just another bar that you can stand behind and get bored. You know, there's always something to do and learn in this place.
And it's a bar with a worldwide reputation. I remember talking to Ken a couple of days after he won the after the Pot Still won the Whiskey Bar of the Year award from Whiskey Magazine, and he was at the dinner down in London where they announced it. And I'm going to ask, were you working the night he called up and said, "We won the award, give everybody a round on me"?
Yes, I was indeed, and we had to make sure it was actually Ken that was talking. We had to ask him for some code words to make sure that it was actually him.
What was the reaction that night in the bar?
Behind the bar or in front of the bar?
Well, both, because I'm sure that you guys were surprised and pleased to win the award, and I think probably others were surprised that Ken was buying a round.
Pretty much, and the fact that he wasn't there to see what we were buying, which is even better. Not that he even really cared that day. So there was a whole lot of jumping up and down behind the bar. A bit less jumping up and down the other side because there was filled up beers, but we had a good drink at that point, and a lot of hugging.
For the people who didn't get to visit the Pot Still when Ken was there, tell us about working with Ken every day. What's your best Ken story, so to speak?
Oh, God. One was not too long after I started working in here. There was a Scotland game, and during the Scotland games, we usually get quite busy before and after the game. Guys meet in town and then take the train out to Hampden and then come back, win, lose, or draw to celebrate. And I've got family over in Seattle, and my cousin surprised me coming over from Seattle, and he came into the bar to see me. And I was 3 deep at the bar, and so I couldn't really talk to him. So I said, "Look, just go down to the Arches, a club nearby, and once I finish, I'll go down and meet you." So, got finished up. I was back in the next morning. I thought, forget it. Anything that I don't need to do right now, I'll do tomorrow morning. So I put the money in the safe, made sure everything was switched off, and went down to the club and met my cousin and had a cracking time. The only thing with that is that when I was doing the mopping, usually I would check the back door, make sure everything's sorted, check the fire escapes. So I didn't do the mopping that night. One drunken kilty had gone down the stairs looking for the gents, but it's only the ladies that's down the stairs. So he went down to the ladies, realised that it was the ladies, that it wasn't his door, and went through the only other door there, which was the fire escape, and fell asleep in the back steps. So he eventually woke up, and woke up to darkness, found his way up the stairs, set off one of the alarm sensors, the alarm started going off. So eventually the phone went in the pub, and it was the cops to let the guy know that the alarm had gone off. They knew he was in there, and not to worry, the licensee had been contacted, and just to get himself a drink and sit down and relax and to be let out. Unfortunately, Murphy's Law, this was the one night that Kenny and his wife Sandra were away down at a golf dinner down in Ayr, and so uncontactable by normal means. So they phoned his house, got his daughter. His daughter panicked, phoned Kenny. Kenny answered the phone to his daughter and said, "Well, what am I going to do? I'm drunk down in there. I'm not going to do anything." Phoned Nikki, who was one of the other assistant managers, and found her. And she was another party in Glasgow. So she came down, opened the pub, let the guy out. Oh, I forgot to say. So a drunken football supporter was told by the police to get himself a drink and sit down and relax. What do you think he got himself?
The best whiskey in the bar?
Two bottles of Bacardi Breezer.
Oh, man.
I know. Couldn't believe it. Only thing he'd probably recognise at that point in time. Well, I'm luckily for me, I suppose, to be honest. Otherwise, I'd have got my head in my hands to play with. So I left the club eventually, and I'm walking back up the street towards my house, and I can see the lights on in the pub, which scared the hell out of me. So I went into the pub, and Nicky told me everything that had happened, and we had a post-mortem, if you like, and eventually said, right, okay, better get out and get home, get back in tomorrow morning. But the guy tried to open the doors to get out and knackered the lock on the door. So you couldn't lock the door from outside. So I had to sleep in the... Well, I didn't sleep in the pub. I had to stay in the pub overnight because I couldn't lock the pub up. And I cleaned the place top to toe. And after all that, after locking a guy in the pub, having the police called, having himself called the night out, he came in the morning and saw that I'd been up all night waiting to see what would happen. And he said to me, is there anything that I need to tell you about what happened tonight? No. I said, right, okay, that's it done. Let's get the place tidied up and get open. And that was it. That's I was expecting to have blood coming from my ears after that. But he came in, said I'd been in here all night cleaning the place. The place was cleaning, by the way. I got brass polish out to every single bit of the pub that required it, and some bits that didn't. The place was as clean as it had ever been, because I couldn't get to sleep. So yeah, Ken was more fair than he needed to be on that one, which I was very, very relieved about.
How is Ken's family doing these days?
Well, I've had his brother come in. His brother came in one of the first weekends when he opened to wish us good luck, and I was really happy with that. It's one thing to know that the family are happy with you being there, and it's another one for them actually to come in and, you know, shake you by the hand and say good luck with it. So I'm a lot happier about that as well. And I know that Sandra was a little bit surprised because it had to be kept confidential until we actually went in, so I couldn't actually tell anyone until we were in the place. And Sandra's a little bit surprised, but she's happy that there's somebody in the place that's going to look after it. And so now all I have to do is live up to that.
What's your hope for the place over the next 5-10 years? What would you like to see the pot still become, or you don't want to keep it the way it sort of always has been?
There's not too much I can do with the place, and there's not too much I would do with the place. I wanted to take the lease on because I like it as it is. All I need to do is improve what we do in terms of drink offering, to be honest. The only thing that annoys me about the pub is that it's on Hope Street. If people don't know Glasgow, Hope Street is one of the main bus corridors up through the town. It's one of the main roads you get through Glasgow City Centre. I'm looking outside just now and I can see 3 buses parked at the lights. Every form of transport that's on wheels goes past the pub at some point in its life. But the number of guys who know where the pot still is in Glasgow is minuscule compared to the number of guys who know where the pub like the Horseshoe is. And now the Horseshoe is a famous pub, but it's down a wee lane off a side street. But everyone knows how to get to it. So my aim for this year is to make sure that everyone in Glasgow knows where the pot still is. And in terms of the whiskey, get it back up to where it is. Probably start stocking some more world whiskies. I was looking through Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible and amazed to find out that Germany has 43 distilleries now, apparently. So need to broaden our horizons to give the guys in Glasgow a reason to come in, because, you know, a guy in a pub in Glasgow can get a good selection of malts in any pub, but he's not necessarily going to get a whiskey from Liechtenstein or Estonia in any other pub in Glasgow. So I've got to give them reason to come in, reason to talk about the place, reason to recommend the place, and then I can start looking further afield and get people from other countries talking about it as well.
Well, I know a lot of our listeners have always talked about the pot still as one of those places you have to visit when you're in Glasgow. So I would imagine your tourist trade at least is still pretty solid, at least among the whiskey lovers of the world, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, the reputation of the place has shaded a little bit in the recent term. But hopefully, if everyone knows that the place has changed hands and knows who's back in running it, and that I'm very, very definite about making it as good as it has been beforehand, if not better, then hopefully that reputation will kind of reassert itself again. We're still getting a lot of guys in, guys who haven't been in before, guys who have been in a few times, and, you know, pop in whenever they're in Glasgow, and that's really good to know. You know, some guys that haven't been in since the last time I was working here, who I've asked if I ever moved, and then get told the whole story. So we still get a lot of guys from all over the place, and I've just got to make sure that doesn't dip at any point in time.
After Ken Story's family was ousted, I said here on WhiskeyCast that I would no longer visit the pot still while in Glasgow, and I took down the link on the WhiskeyCast website's list of great whiskey bars around the world. Well, that link is back up now, and I'll be glad to stop by the pot still for a dram the next time I'm in Glasgow. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you this time around by the Glenrothes. The Whiskey Exchange recently released a 19-year-old bottling of Port Eskeg Harbor single malt, bottled at 45.8% ABV from an undisclosed distillery. The nose is earthy, smoky, and peaty with hints of heather and gorse. The taste is peaty, peppery, and pungent like an Isla fireplace, with hints of caramel and licorice that come out as the smokiness fades. The finish is lingering and pungent with hints of caramel sweetness, adding balance. I'm scoring the Port Eskeg Harbor 19-year-old a 90. Now, with all of the news this week about an oil tanker and icebreaker trying to reach the folks in Nome, Alaska before their fuel supplies ran out, I was reminded of old Pulteney's Row to the North Pole expedition last summer. There was a Row to the Pole commemorative bottling released to celebrate that feat. It's bottled at 40% ABV. The nose has notes of brine, gorse, and honey. The taste has a citrusy tartness at first that gives way to a mix of brininess and subtle smokiness with a touch of red apples. The finish is red apples with a touch of cinnamon and brininess, and I'm scoring old Pulteney's Row to the Pole bottling an 87. Finally, the Glenfarclas 175th Anniversary Edition. It's bottled at 43% ABV with a nose full of honey, raisins, allspice, and orange peel. The taste is creamy and thick with orange peel, brown sugar, honey, and a hint of ginger. The finish is short with a hint of red apples and honey. I'm scoring the Glenfarclas 175th Anniversary Edition a 92. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you this time around by the Glenrothes, where maturity matters, not age. The Glenrothes also brings you our free WhiskeyCast app for iPhone and iPad users. You'll also find my tasting notes in our Android app and at the WhiskeyCast website. That's also where you'll find links to the WhiskeyCast Facebook page and my Twitter feed, the calendar of events, my photo gallery, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com. My email address for your questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com. Support for WhiskeyCast comes from Redbreast Single Pot Still Irish Whiskey. Find out more at redbreastwhiskey.com and join the Stillhouse to receive your own personalized whiskey journal. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2012, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.